Me and my bitch, I swear we like the same sex. Fuck with all my jeans on, let's have chain sex.
What's up, everyone? It is your boy, J Smooth, J Rich, here live in my new apartment, sitting on my nice couch with my laptop open, phone and microphone open, speaking to you guys on a wonderful Thursday afternoon. Just got out of classes, felt like hitting you guys up with another podcast, kind of review week one, kind of go over week two and stuff, because we got a big old matchup. The Bucks are doing good. We got lots of stuff to talk about, the I-4, why is it the Bucks? Maybe talk about a little bit of Magic, maybe talk about a little bit of Rays. I don't know, let's see how this show goes and see how it goes. I think we're maybe going to focus on football today, because that's what's going on in the world. That's what I'm mostly into and all that good stuff. And I got a few announcements coming as well. But in the meantime, let's get started on this, because we got a lot of good stuff to talk about today. Great, great show today. And I'm very, very excited to get it started for you guys. So, as you guys probably realize, it is football season. It's finally here, and I am so, so excited that it is finally here, because there's so many good stories to talk about today. And since we are I-4 podcast and we love to talk about our good Florida teams, let's get started on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And holy wow, was that a great showing by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday. They came in and just guns a-blazing, Ryan Fitzpatrick ready to go. The run game was going strong, and it really felt like no one is going to stop him. I definitely have, as you guys know, if you've heard on the show before, Benny Qualman, good friend of mine, big fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he was blowing up my phone the entire day because of how excited he was. He's tweeting all sorts of stuff like, Super Bowl is ours, NFC is ours, and I think it's good. I think that it's good that the Bucs have a good chance coming into this season, because last year they went 5-11, had a lot of hype around them with the Hard Knocks and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, Ryan Fitzpatrick is looking dirty and raw, and I shouldn't say dirty, he's looking clean. Dirty as in, like, he's doing the Saints dirty, but his game is looking clean. He went 21-28, 417 yards and 4 touchdowns. This is the best game in his career that I've ever seen, and I think the entire NFL has ever seen. Peyton Barber had 19 carries, 69 yards. Nice, 69. Mike Evans, top receiver, obviously, with 7 receptions, 147 yards, and a touchdown. DeSean Jackson had 2 touchdowns. But, of course, it wasn't really quite the defensive battle. The final score was 48-40. And then it really started to get close towards the end there with the Saints. They were closing in, but they couldn't get it done on the last drive of the game. And then the Bucs came out with the win. Very, very great game. I mean, I would say for getting the defense turnovers for the Bucs-wise, they had the fumble recovery for a touchdown. Had a couple of turnover recoveries. And the Bucs defense looking very sharp. You can tell that finally the Bucs offensive line is actually there now. I don't even know like where to begin. There's so many things to start. Let's just start with Fitzpatrick. So I guess one question in after this game is, do you keep Fitzpatrick going week 4? When Jameis Winston is supposed to be coming back and taking over his franchise? Or do you let Ryan Fitzmagic just keep taking the wheel? I would say there's definitely a quarterback controversy here. Everyone thought it was going to be around Philadelphia and whatnot, but I think it's right here at home in Florida. It's going to be the Fitzpatrick and Winston controversy, because Winston, as you guys know, was suspended 3 games for groping the Uber driver. And so Fitzmagic is in the driver's seat right now and putting up franchise quarterback numbers, 417 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, I think that this week will be the true test for the Bucs against the defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. As you guys know, is my main team, but I will be in attendance. Me, Benny, my lovely girlfriend Brenda will also be there. My awesome friend Sean, who's also a Philly fan, and my brother, who's a Philly fan, we're going out there. We'll be wearing our green. Benny, obviously, in his red. I wonder what jersey he'll wear. Probably Jeff Garcia. That'll be interesting. But this week really will be the true test. The Saints defense, they haven't... it's actually interesting. I got into a little Twitter debate today with my good friend Benny Coleman, and he said that the Saints defense has been more consistent than the Philadelphia Eagles defense. This is an interesting statement, I will say, by Benny Coleman. Because last year, the Eagles defense was, I believe, like the third-ranked defense. And I'm not quite sure what the Saints defense was ranked. Here, let me give this a quick little Google here. 2017. Well, let's take a look at all looky here. New Orleans. Let's see. Well, the Eagles finished... This is 2018 here. Let me fix this little thing here to go to 2017 and make it look a little bit more correct. Okay, there we go. So, here we go. So, in regards to the yards given up, Philadelphia was 4, and New Orleans is going to lay down at... Where they at? Am I going insane? There they are, 17. Okay. So if Philadelphia is at 4, New Orleans is at 17. This is the yards given up. I mean, I think that's a pretty fair thing to say here. Wait, what? This is total. I'm sorry, guys. This stat generator is kind of doing me dirty right now. Okay, here we go. This seems... Wait, what? I'm sorry, guys. I probably seem so stupid right now because of what I'm staring at. So anyway, so Philadelphia at 4. New Orleans is all the way down here at 17. This is for 2017. Let's go to 2016. Let's take a quick look here. All right, so we're going to see Philadelphia at 13. And we're going to see New Orleans at 27. Okay, interesting. So New Orleans has been consistent at being at the bottom so far. Let's go to 2015 here. Let's see what's up. All right, we got Tampa Bay at 10. We're going to get Philly at 30 and then New Orleans at 31. See, this is when Philadelphia's defense was really bad. So both the Saints and Philly defense haven't really been too consistent the past couple of years, especially in the 2015 era when it was Chip Kelly at the helm. It wasn't a very good defense. Bradley Fletcher was giving up everything to everyone over in the corner, but... You know, I just wanted to prove a little point there. Sorry for a little pause and trying to find these correct stats, but I just wanted to point out that the Saints defense is nothing like this Eagles defense. And if you really think the Buccaneers are going to put 48 points on the Eagles defense, you're not a very realistic Buccaneers fan. And I can say that coming from both trying to be neutral and also in Eagles fan, is that this Eagles defense is too good to be even put 48. Last year, there wasn't even a team that came close to putting up 48 points on the Philadelphia Eagles. The closest team that came to putting up 48 points was the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, and the closest number that they got was 31. That was probably the highest. I mean, maybe besides the Rams or the Seahawks who beat us, and even the Chiefs. Like, that's the only time we ever given up more than, like, 21 points, 28 points. Those were our losses, to the Chiefs, to the Seahawks, the Cowboys, we lost 6-0, so that didn't even count. And the fact that they started their starting lineup that day, it says even more. Anyway, moving on. There's going to be way much tougher defense than the Saints defense has ever been within the past few years. And then it's also going to be a tough challenge for the Bucs because we got two injuries at the corners. We got Vernon Hargraves is going to be out. I believe he was put on IR. And then Brent Grimes, I believe, let's see, DeSean Jackson was under the concussion protocol. Excuse me, but I believe Brent Grimes has something going on with his groin injury. I think he's questionable for this Sunday. So two starting corners are out. But let's keep in mind that Carson Wentz has still not been cleared for contact on Sunday. So this will give the Bucks a slight advantage being at our backup quarterback, Nick Foles, Big Dick Nick, as you may know. he will be in the under center for the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. So, me personally, I'm hoping that I don't get the same performance from last Thursday. But the Bucks, I'm sure you all watched the game last Thursday and probably all thought, oh, okay, we got this in the bag. If the Eagles are going to score 19, we're going to score 48. Two totally different defenses that we're playing, two totally different offenses. I think that this game is going to happen one of two ways. It's either going to be a really close game, and I feel like if the Bucks keep it close, they can win this game. I'm gonna throw away all biases. I'm gonna be like, if the Bucks keep it close, the Bucks can win this game. I'm not saying they will, but I'm saying they can. And that's if they keep our offense shut down, which I have a feeling they won't, because I believe I saw an injury report on Jason Pierre-Paul as well, and also via the draft pick. I think that if the Bucks do contain the run game, if they keep Ajayi from exiting out of the backfield and keep him back there, or Darren Sproles, and also if they keep Nick Foles uncomfortable in the pocket and they keep him checking down the entire game, then yeah, I can see the Buccaneers winning this game. But if the Eagles come out looking like how they did in the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl, I think that it is totally over for the Buccaneers. I think the Buccaneers at most will score about maybe 21 to 28 points. I'll give them that. And if it's a close game, it's going to end up being like 35-28 or 24-21, one of the scores, if this game is going to be close at all. But I think the other way that the game will go is it'll be just a blowout where Nick Foles finds his rhythm, and it's finally gets comfortable with his team. He starts hitting his targets because he's got plenty out there. You got Mike Wallace, Nelson Aguilar, who is the stat leader last year for the team, Zach Ertz, who is a top three tight end in the league last year, as well as a new rookie, Dallas Goedert, for the Eagles as well. So there's plenty of targets for Nick Foles. If the Bucks shut him down, there you go. And so let's flip it over here to the Bucks on offense. Bucks weapons, they're all there. They got the running game now with Peyton Barber. Their offensive line looked better when it comes to the running game. Ryan Fitzpatrick, if you ask me, I think he's way better than Jameis Winston. That's just my opinion. We can talk about more on this podcast in a little bit. Mike Evans is definitely 100% healthy. He's in. DeSean Jackson. Yeah, what the hell? DeSean Jackson. There we go. He is under concussion protocol after leaving the game last week in the fourth quarter or third quarter. He's under concussion protocol, so it'll be interesting to see what happens if he does play on Sunday. I think it'll have a big effect on the Bucks and the Eagles if he does or does not play this coming Sunday. I'll be interested to see him. My opinion on D-Jax is, he used to be my boy. Chip Kelly traded him away because apparently he has some kind of gang affiliation. I thought that was kind of dumb. I would have kept liking Jackson if he didn't go running his mouth all the time and, trying us on the field, trying to pick off in some little fights here and there. So he lost a little bit of my respect there for a good little bit. And also, the only thing that D-Jax is good for is him sprinting down the field and Fitzpatrick or Winston throwing it up and hoping he catches it. That's was the Eagles' game plan most of the time. It's what was the Redskins' game plan about 100% of the time. And, he's been using the slot here and there, like at Tampa, but trust me, if he's on the outside, he's going deep, and that's exactly where the ball is going to go. I can assure you that. So, I'll tell you what, if the Bucs' offensive line can contain the names like Fletcher Cox, who's trying to be the Defensive Player of the Year this year, Michael Bennett, who was traded from the Seahawks. He's didn't have a big game last week, but everyone else around him did. We got Haloti Ngata as well from the Lions, a newly recruit. Chris Long on the outside. We got Nigel Bradham coming back from a suspension. For some reason, last week, I got Nigel Bradham and Michael Bennett suspension flipped around. I thought Michael Bennett was suspended for the Super Bowl thing, pushing over the security guard. I was totally wrong on that one. It was Nigel Bradham. He was the one that was suspended for the one game. But he's coming back this week. And if the Bucks offensive line, I will give them so much respect if Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't get sacked once. It's not going to happen. I'm putting my money on at least 5 sacks by the Eagles defense. That's just me being biased. But unbiased, I'm going to say at least 3 or 4 times. At least 3 or 4. That's how many times that the Eagles will get the Ryan Fitzpatrick. Going to put that pressure on him. That's how the Eagles win games, is they put pressure on the quarterback. They stop the run game, in which the Bucks, I'm not going to lie here, they barely have. They just now started to get it going. After releasing Doug Martin and getting Peyton Barber and some reps there. And it'll just be an interesting game. I'm very excited to be there in attendance. It is basically my birthday party. My birthday is this Saturday on the 15th of September. my Cash App is Jesse S. Rich. If you're trying to send me some birthday wishes through money, I definitely need it. That would be freaking dope. And then maybe I can put it towards this podcast, making it better. Get some microphones, get a good program, get a good software going. That'd be great. But I don't mean to plug it. I don't mean to interrupt our podcast here. But if I had to predict a final score for this Sunday between the Bucks and the Eagles, I'm going to guess it's going to be... it's going to be a close one. If it is going to be a close one, I could be biased and say it's going to be, it's going to be 42-21 Eagles easily. It's not. It's going to be, I'm going to put up a weird number for the Eagles. I'm going to put up 34. Don't ask me how. I don't know how. 34-17. I'm going to say 34-17, Eagles win the game. If the Bucks were to win it, it's going to be 31-26, if I had to guess. That's what the final score would be if the Bucks are going to win this game, 31-26. Moving on, as you know, it is football season, as we just talked about, a bunch of NFL football. Let's have a little bit of college football here. So last podcast, I talked about Ohio State, Urban Meyer, how they would be fine. Guess what? They're 2-0. I told you the first game was a blowout. Second game, also handled easily. This week is going to be their toughest matchup, I believe, is versus Texas Christian University. But I think Ohio State will be fine. I think it'll probably not be a blowout, but it'll be probably about a 17-20-point game. Ohio State's going to win it. Let's talk about Florida, though. This is I-4 podcasting after all. Let's get some Florida Gator football in here. So the Florida Gators, they broke the streak of 32 years of beating the Kentucky Wildcats. And finally, after 32 years, the Kentucky Wildcats have defeated the Florida Gators. I'm sad about it, and I'm definitely not proud of the way that the Florida Gators offense played. It was absolutely pathetic. I am absolutely upset with Felipe Franks. Watching him behind... the center, under center, in shotgun, wherever he is, he doesn't have the IQ for it. Me and my father had a great conversation about this the other day, and to me, he just doesn't seem like he knows how to make the right decisions in order to have the team under shoulders. Like, we need a quarterback to beat. And granted, I'll give Felipe this. Our offensive line, it's not the best. It could be a lot better. That's where the entire team starts. Any team, pro or college, that is where a football team needs to start, is your offensive line. And right now, the Gators have maybe bits and pieces of it. I don't want to say that we have the best offensive line, because it's a fact that we don't. Our defense has always been here for us. They've never really quite... I can't remember the last time our defense has really let us down too badly. I mean, last year we had bad losses to Missouri. We had the bad losses to Georgia. And that was just simply because they were the better teams. They were a lot better teams than us that day. And it's sad to see that we were coming into it ranked. We were number 25 in the nation. We were coming off the great victory off that no-name school, but, you know, who am I to say? Then we came in, SEC game, first one of the season, and we lost it. And now that affects us in the SEC East standings a lot. I think we have the talent around Felipe Franks. I just don't think that Felipe Franks is talented. He has an arm. He has the legs. He just doesn't have the IQ. It's really sad to see that we don't have a quarterback. We haven't really had a quarterback since Timmy Tebow. We had Luke Del Rio for a little bit. He was doing good. I believe he had some sort of injury, and something just wasn't working out with Luke Del Rio. I thought he was our best bet, but alas, he's not our bet anymore. It's Felipe Franks. Dan Mullen says he's our guy. He says hopefully this week we can bounce back against Colorado State. I'll be watching the game closely. And I got a couple friends that'll be up there as well. And that's pretty much it for the Gators. The season just started. Offense looking weak, defense looking strong. Going to the LSU game this year for the Tim Tebow Ring of Honor enunciation they got going on this year, and it should be exciting. It'll be a good time seeing Timmy Tebow, speaking of him. And I'm very excited for that. And that's it for the Gators. Let's see, a little bit more I-4 action got going on. Let's talk about some hockey. Let's see, we got the exhibition game coming up. The Tampa Bay Lightning versus Florida Panthers is at the Amway Arena, I believe, on the 27th of this month. I will be in attendance. I'll be there watching all watching the pros, the veterans, watching the new guys, taking a look at how our team's doing this year. Steve Yzerman stepped down recently as GM. Sad to see him go. I was hoping he would stay around for a little bit, but I guess he just decided to call it quits, and it really stinks. But I'm confident in our front office. We've done such a good job signing new recruits, like especially getting JT Miller last year, the American Sniper, and the defenseman as well from New York. And I believe stepping in place was the man who stepped down, so Yzerman could have been stepping down. Let's see if I can get that name here. Let's see if Yzerman stepping down. And let's see. Oh, yes, it was Brebo. Man, you know what's crazy about hockey is a lot of the names I cannot say, but I need to start practicing that. But yeah, I'm just going to say it sounds French, like Brie. So it's Julian Brisebois. Brisebois? I don't know, I kind of give up on that. He's going to be stepping in now, but I got confidence in this front office. I think they're going to do a good job. They've been signing everyone that needs to be signed. They've been extending everyone that needs to be extended. Kucherov got extended last year. It's just good stuff all around, and I feel like we're coming off a good run from last year. We made it to the conference final last year, but unfortunately we got our heart broken by the Caps, who I'm not a very big fan of, but hey, they were on their way to get their first ring, so I can respect that. The Eagles got their first ring, so they can have theirs as well. But I think that this year, we can definitely make a comeback off that. I think that we just need everyone to keep showing up. I don't know where Kucherov went during the playoffs, or Callahan, or honestly, it was kind of a sad sight to see our defense fall apart last season, and all sorts of things like that. But so that's Tampa Bay Lightning. Excited for that game that's coming up. Orlando Magic. Let's talk about a little bit of them. We never got around to this. I never talked about this. We hired a new head coach, and his name is Steve Clifford. I don't know if you know a lot about this guy, but that's because there's not really a whole lot to go off of. He coached the Charlotte Hornets. That's one of the only head coaching jobs that he's had, and you see how the Charlotte Hornets did the past 2 years, and that's, well, it's not very good. So now we're here. He's in Orlando. We have a new recruit named Mo Bamba, who I actually got the pleasure of meeting the other day. If you didn't know this, I work at a place called Topgolf. on Universal Boulevard. It's a driving range, pretty much on steroids. It's the full restaurant sports bar, and you can hit some golf balls into little targets. It's really, really fun if you haven't been. We're nationwide, Orlando, Tampa, several locations in Texas, one in Arizona, more in California, one in Georgia as well. All that good stuff. But anyway, so actually a few Magic players, Aaron Gordon and Mo Bamba came in the other day, and I said, "What's up?" I can't get a picture with them because my manager would have a fit if they caught me getting a picture with Mo Bamba or Aaron Gordon for that matter. But I have to say, "What's up?" Excited for the season. There's only one place to go from where the Magic are, and it's up. And I would hope that that is the goal for us this year. I think we got a lot of talent, especially now that we have a new center. He's going to be great. Mo Bamba killed it in college. I think he's going to be a great pro here. I can see him doing great, great things in Orlando. I can see him being our new franchise star, along with Aaron Gordon. Now that we have someone that is a guard slash forward slash point guard, and we have the person down in the paint getting the job done as well. Very, very excited. Only place to go is up for the Orlando Magic. I'm really, really hopeful for that. And other things in news is LeSean McCoy. He's officially an innocent man. I no longer have to hang up my jersey, retire my jersey. We talked about this a lot the last podcast, but the police just decided to let him go. They couldn't find any evidence. I believe they said the NFL is still investigating it a little bit here and there to see if there should be any action. I don't think there will be any action. I don't think there should be any action, seeing that LeSean McCoy is indeed an innocent man. And I'm glad he is. He is like a hero of mine, and I'm glad I don't have to retire the jersey and all that good stuff. So I'll tell you what, that's probably going to do it for me today on I4 Podcasting. Glad we got to talk about all the I4 stuff and whatnot. Decided not to bombard you with a bunch of Eagles stuff. I'm going to try and do that a little bit less to you guys, because I know it's I4 Podcasting, a little bit hypocritical of me saying that I'm doing I4 and covering the Gators and Bucks and stuff. I had to talk about the Eagles all day. So I'm going to try and do that less. Big announcements coming. A friend of mine in my journalism class. And yes, I've officially started my major, which is journalism. So I can actually start getting you guys news and not just my opinions on stuff. Me and a classmate of mine, we had decided to join forces. This isn't necessarily the end of I4 Podcasting. He might just be hopping on I4 Podcasting. A good friend of mine named Will, he's going to be joining me. We're going to talk all sorts of things sports news, discussing our opinions. We're going to try and do it weekly for you. No more of this waiting 1 month and making you guys wait all the time. I appreciate the people who do listen in on iTunes, Spotify, and any other way of listening to my media. I really appreciate to all the, I guess I can call you guys fans. And be on the lookout, going to put in a lot more episodes coming in the near future. A lot of sports being talked about, and I'm really going to start talking about other things, whether it's pop culture, movies, music. Tell me what you guys want to hear. I'm going to post a little thing on Facebook, a little thing on Twitter, and I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear from you what you guys want to hear from me, if that makes sense. And, because I'm trying to make the listening experience better. I'm trying to get new professional microphones. I'm trying to get a new system to where I can actually get you guys a listenable podcast where you guys want to tune in every week and want to do this, want to do that. If you want to be on the show, hit me up. I'm looking for guests. I want to talk about things with different people. And it would just be great to have other voices on here. I got Benny. I got my friend Nick. I'm just trying to get a few more voices. So if you're interested, let me know if you want to be a guest, and then we can make this happen for sure. So that'll do it. I'm Jesse Richardson. This is I4 Podcasting. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you guys have a wonderful day, a wonderful weekend. Week 2 is coming up. It's coming fast. Tonight is the Bengals and Ravens on NBC. Oh, no, wait, no. It's on Fox now. That's right. It's going to be on Fox Thursday Night Football. Tune in to that. The Bengals looked a lot better than they usually did before versus the healthy Andrew Luck and healthy Colts squad week 1. And the Ravens, Well, they blew up the Bills, and that's not saying much because Nathan Peterman is probably one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen in my life. I'm 0-3 in fantasy. I'm in three leagues. I lost in all three of them. all pretty far off, but I made the bad decision of starting Nick Foles last week. He got 4 points for me, and that's never good. So I'm starting Patrick Mahomes. I started him over Patrick Mahomes, but I'm starting him this week in whatever leagues I have him in, except for the one I had Drew Brees in. But that's a different discussion for a different day. Congratulations, Brenna. You beat me in fantasy again. I'm coming for you in the playoffs, so don't you worry about a thing. But this time, I mean it. I'm out of here, guys. Enjoy. Have a wonderful night. And go Birds. We're beating the Buccaneers this weekend. I'm telling you. Go Gators. Yeah, have a good one, guys.